they came to Vince. He's like, what if I got tits? Dustin, do you want to talk?
I guess we can plug that the show is sort of in syndication. What should we call that?
I don't know.
Because I mean, that's something. I play other sort of like I play a cartoon that's hand drawn and have been playing that for the past 3 years on the stream. And it's not just a stream; it's more like a video concert. But TV, it is something that is only possible because of what's happening right now in the art scene.
Yeah.
And so there is no like, the art style is defined by like what's happening now and not like what did we grow up with or what pop art do we like?
There you go. Now. That's so cool. Well, shit. I should have done the intro proper. So
go ahead.
Because no, that was all good stuff. So everyone, you're just gonna have to deal with it because I'm leaving it in. That was excellent. Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrick Taylor, she, they, am doing a rewatch of the Monday Night Wars and making it your problem. This week's esteemed victim is
Hi, I'm Amber Mortem. You may know me by Glitch Sister.
Huzzah! Well, welcome. And now there's some understanding of what Glitch Sister also means as you're talking about the sort of syndication you've been doing with this little pod here. Yeah. Which, I wasn't able to catch it at the time, but I watched some of what you sent me and it was like, oh, God, this is great. This is fantastic. Wonderful. I really like the idea of watching the shows while listening to it. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily what I meant to do with the main feed stuff, but it has worked surprisingly well. That is very much what goes down on Patreon. But in the meantime, yes, welcome. You are a fucking awesome artist doing awesome art things with videos and audios and all kinds of stuff that I wish I was better at. I can edit a podcast pretty okay, I guess. But outside of that, oof. Welcome. You like hopped on a long time ago when I put an ask out for guests, and I'm finally getting to you. It turns out there's a lot of people that wanted to do that. So we are going to discuss Nitro and Raw from October 30th of 1995. Do you want to start with Nitro?
Yeah, it's a my notes as well.
It's a Nitro. It's one of, I feel like last week with Kennedy it was a Raw of all time. This was certainly a Nitro of all time.
It's
a weird one.
It's the one right after a pay-per-view, so it's gonna be like, all right, who can we get together? And it feels like that.
Yeah, very much so. And it was after a very strange pay-per-view. Patron folks and folks want to experience that, go to Patreon. It was a weird one. What with the mans and machines and the trucks and the Pepes. Well, Pepe is here tonight because the first thing I think of immediately is the fact that they got Pepe wearing a costume.
Yeah, that's my first note. Pepe the doggy is wearing a Halloween costume.
I specifically wrote my costume for this year. That's why I'm some sort of winged witch I should go for, because Pepe's pulling it off and I love him. And Bobby tells us that he's been up all night contemplating how fucking stupid the monster trucks were, basically.
No!
Yeah, it was
giant falls off.
It was real bad. I'm just trying to think all this stuff, and you can tell he's just like, can we move on? This was real bad.
Mm-hmm.
Very bad. And I noticed that Mago is in a chef coat, which was a little weird. The 90s fashion, especially amongst these three particular cats, is continuing to send me for a loop, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Heenan generally does okay. Bischoff's going to get worse. Mongo is going to just stop wearing clothes soon here. So, you know, that's good.
And then Dusty is just in the dumpster.
Yeah.
Trying to put together something, but it's like a rich dumpster.
Yes, exactly. Oh god, yeah, we get a lot more Dusty coming up in pay-per-views. I'm excited for this. I miss the American Dream. Especially now that well, we'll get to it. His son is no longer there. But first, Eddie versus Pittman. And I want to believe in Eddie's ability to get gold out of shit.
That's my first note.
Yeah, this past. Is rough.
Yeah. Then the first match is announced. It's Sergeant Craig Pitbull, and this one's a stinker. Yeah. And something I can't really parse it, but something that I'm like, please, Eddie, please shine, please. And then I'm like, please, Boognish, please, St. Mary. Yeah. Please,
anyone.
Please give this boy the power to kick ass between all these gringos.
Yeah, somebody carry Pittman. And yeah,
they did it.
They pretty much did it. Yeah. Eddie's jacket was great, starting real good. But then, like, the first, like, actual wrestling note I took is, like, okay, Pittman did, like, a capture suplex almost. Mm-hmm. Like, he just catches him and just tossed his ass. And I was like, okay, there we go, Eddie. Like, thank you for jumping so hard to make it look like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, and Mongo says, we've got some scary individuals doing some horrible things.
And I was like, oh, God. I mean, I guess that's God, Mongo, that's like the most basic commentary you could have it for wrestling. He's just like, it's like he went to the basic lowest common denominator of they are mean and they are doing violence. It's just like, okay, Mongo's trying so hard all through this episode, and it's just not. I got to get Silent back on because Silent is on a mission to get me Mongo pilled, and she's doing all right. She's gotten me almost swayed, but this episode, he has some explaining to do.
I'm very Mongo pilled.
You are very Mongo pilled. I'm Pepe pilled. Why are you Mongo pilled, Amber? Please tell, sell me. Sell
it's
me.
It started with Pepe. Like, oh, when I started watching Nitro, I didn't grow up with wrestling.
Yeah,
and I started during like the NXT era where it wasn't on cable yet, but it had a TV show, and it was past the ECW phase and all that stuff.
Where they tried to bring back ECW that last time.
And so NXT was just in like this dark room, and that was like where I got in, like 2015.
Oh wow!
And before that, wrestling was like, oh, don't watch that. That's for like hicks.
Yeah.
And
I suppose so.
Well, I grew up where that was. I was surrounded by hicks. I don't know why I wasn't watching it, but I digress.
Yeah.
So there's just certain things like when I started watching Nitro, I was like, okay, I know little bits, and then I'm just gonna watch all of it through. So I've already watched this stuff maybe three times. Yeah.
Holy shit, Amber! Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, I'm so happy you're here because I'm hoping to only have to watch all of it once.
Oh yeah.
Some of it's been real rough. But that's amazing. You went hard on the Nitro.
I have a sick twisted love for WCW 2000.
That's a thing. Holy shit, cuz it's going to get real bad from what I remember. I was watching WWE, but I would catch whiffs of it, and I got really excited when the invasion happened, and then it was real bad, and they killed it, and it was just like, no, we can't let WCW have any fun. But like, I'm like, but DDP is really good though. Mm-hmm. And like, all these guys are really good, and they just wouldn't give it to them, and I stopped watching after a while because they fumbled it so bad. But I've really been loving going back and seeing Nitros for the first time because some of this shit's great. like case in point that Eddie and Pittman, he made it work. Mongo tried to be topical, talking about biting Eddie's ear off, and he got like crickets from the other two, and that kind of popped me. It's just like, mm-hmm. Oh, it's kind of his place to just try so hard and have Bobby go, ugh. And I'm like, and to that extent, I guess he's an underdog. Maybe that's what Pepe represents. We'll see. But that makes sense. That's wild that you came so late to it. Like, I came back to it way after that, but I had several years of this time period. So, like, I think you're one of the first people we have who didn't actually watch any of this at all. No. Outside of... No, even the people I have who are more or less noobs at least had it on in the background.
I caught like maybe one Rey Mysterio ladder match on TV, and then like a little bit of TNA on WB, and that's for that like rare few months it was on.
Oh gosh, TNA, that's one that I have not. I'm admittedly, it's a huge blind spot, and it's trouble right now because like. Spoilers, folks. Me and the folks in the Gorilla Position chat, who are basically people who have been on the show before and want to possibly hang out for Patreons, are trying to put together a Sting night, like a Stinger retrospective. And I feel bad because it's like, all right, what do we do for TNA? And I'm like, well, I'm out. Like, I have no idea. I never saw any of that. So, like, I simply do not know.
The Sting Angle match. That's
you think Sting Angle? Yeah. I will take down note for Sting Angle. Angle always cooks. I'm fine with that. But, no, that's wild. So I love getting the various perspectives on all this. And it's kind of, I think it's great that you came into later and you're like Mongo pilled. You're like, no, Mongo's all right. I'm getting swayed a little bit. It's just, I know where it's heading, and it makes it hard to like him now because he is not a good horseman. Spoilers, kids. But yeah, so like on that note, this match is pretty all right. Bobby continues to do Bobby things, jokes about the Clintons because of World War III with the three-ring battle royale, three-ring circus, I'd say. And they continue to talk about how like Halloween Havoc was historic because it's something that never happened before. And again, I say for good reason, as it turns out, we don't need to do that again. It's historic because they never had to fucking do it again because it was a bad idea. But Pittman keeps tossing these awesome suplexes. He gets like an overhead. Eddie's making him look amazing. And I'm like, okay, sure enough. He did it. He turned shit into gold, and he finishes it with like this, like the wheelbarrow, like lucha roll up out of nowhere and pins him and gets a huge reaction. Like, this is, I think, Eddie's like third match on Nitro or something like that so far. And he's already just like over, just so over.
It would not be a bad Ruthless Aggression match. Like,
That makes sense. No, it really fits that because Pittman's like just good enough to kind of like let Eddie carry.
If he wasn't wearing the like, it looks like an outfit he bought from the store. If he was just wearing like a singlet or whatever, it'd be fine. Like, he's pro America, U.S. Team USA. Like, all right,
Jack Swagger his ass or whatever. Yeah.
Gimmick, but athletic.
Yeah, no, he was absolutely able to pull it off, but he just, everything about what they're trying to make him do sucks otherwise. But anyways, we get from a pretty surprisingly good match to two monsters of Japan. Despite me hating Scott Norton in general, this ought to be a banger because it's Tenta versus Scott Norton, and it's like, They ask, where's the beef? And my first note was social media. And I like scratch that out. And I'm like, in the ring. It's big meaty men slapping me. But we're getting resolution to the ridiculous Dungeon of Goon finish from like several weeks ago where Tenta just kind of like fell over. They replayed it. It doesn't look any better this time.
No.
He just kind of falls on his legs and just, oh, you're screwed. Macho's getting you. but now they get to fight it out. And admittedly, Tenta's gear is getting cooler. I don't know how you feel about that, but if you got to be a shark, you got to do something cool. And he's getting like a symbol, like a superhero symbol on the chest now. And I was like, that's a step forward, John. Keep it up.
So in my notes, I wrote, there was a Zodiac flashback. Oh shit, I disassociated for a second and didn't notice Earthquake and Scott Norton were fighting for real and not inside of the flashback sequence.
Yeah, no, they did this. Yeah, they tried to like remind us and they went to, and that's the problem I had. That's why I said it's like, this is resolution finally. Like, I've forgotten about this and I'm watching all this shit in a row right now. And like, I forgot that this was a thing. So I don't blame you for seeing Zodiac dissociating a little bit. He has that power. And then just being like, oh, shit.
I was eating a charcuterie board like Heenan, so.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Heenan. All right. So, like, okay, whatever. This match, blah, blah, blah. They're doing the thing. Mago is getting mad at him for leaving. I said, fuck you. Leave the brain alone. He's simply refreshing his drink and in checking with important sources because he's a broadcast journalist. And then, sure enough, as I finished typing that out, it's like, yeah, see? He's sitting with Sonny Ono, eating sushi, having a drink, making moves.
Chewing the scenery.
Literally chewing the scenery. Exactly. And I'm sitting here going, this is fantastic. It's like, oh, this is the start of them bringing in New Japan. And like, I really love that they used Bobby and Sonny in this way, because it's just brilliant writing for something as silly as professional wrestling and like an understanding of their characters so much that like, yeah, no, Bobby's gonna go do some shady shit and like trade money with Sonny Ono and try to tell them it's so great over here. And like, the Domora Gato Mr. Brain, okay. And then he like dumps the food and pretends it's like so fucking good to him. And I'm just like, God damn it, Gold. This is Golden Heenan. I miss him so much. I just want him back. And I like totally forgot whatever the fuck else was happening in this shark and Norton match. I did not care. I don't think I took any more notes.
Yeah.
About the match itself, because I was just like, I need a show about Bobby and Sonny specifically and whatever the fuck they're doing. I need a whole show. I'll watch it. It was so good.
Haas matches are only fun when the crowd yells, meat, meat, meat.
Yes. And they should have. I wish that had been a thing back. Like, we didn't have Big E yet to tell us that that's what we needed to be doing, but that would have been a perfect example. But anyways, it brings us then to Tony Schiavone in the ring giving the house basically a previously on about how Rick got down on one knee and held the football out for Sting. Sting knowing that this time he would not remove the ball, sending him onto his back. But spoilers, he did. You can't, to quote from the Patreon, I'm giving you guys a freebie. Hamster said something to the likes of, if you can't trust Ric Flair and Dockers, who can you trust? And you can't. You can't trust Ric Flair and Dockers. It's a bad, bad idea. But basically, they're giving us like a look at the return of the Horsemen. They're stuck at three right now. Flair does, in fact, look like a 90s LL Bean catalog. My notes just say Pillman is too good for this. Like, he's just too good at this. he instantly starts talking, and I love him to death.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I never really take things in promos in WCW, because it's like, okay, the wrestling is what matters, so that's fine. But Pillman, I do sit down and like watch his stuff, because it's just, I love his character, and he's kind of so a crush on him and whatever. And,
well, naturally, and he looks like he almost has like a Kenny Omega look going on, like,
yeah,
yeah. And it's like hard,
he looks like a car garage worker, and that's, I don't know.
It works for Amber. That just is, it's
I don't know. I just the puffy shirt
Yeah.
Like, it's like a size, two sizes too big compared to the rest of the men. And it's just kind of funny. Like, oh, he's
huge. Well, I remember he came out in like a cow jacket, like cow print jacket a couple episodes ago. And I was like, you know, I still think about that jacket, and that's not fair. So he could pull that off too. Oh, I love me some Loose Cannon. And he's really getting into it. Arn looks like he's asking Tony to stay after class to cut a promo. I'll never let it go. I really enjoyed Flair and Pillman reenacting the betrayal while he's talking. That's really, like, just so vaudeville, almost. Like, they're just really selling it. And I can't get over the fact that they're doing it previously on. It really made me happy that it was like, okay, this feels really, like, old school theater-ish of, like, this is what they're having to do. Because, like, yeah, it's on TV, but they're also, like, still working a house show. More or less, just on TV. And, like, they have to tell people what's going on. And you realize, like, these segments is what that's for. Because they're doing it so blatantly here that I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. It's just they're filling everyone in. It's exposition hour with Tony and the three horsemen. But boo. And, like, yeah, I just wrote down Flair says something about treating them like lots of women, and I just put so poorly. And that's the end of that. Run to commercial. And when we come back, Sabu!
Sabu beat up Disco, and this was a good thing. Everyone agreed.
And everyone liked that. It's just so wild. It's like two matches, some of the best to ever do it, versus you get, like, some people just have no right having jobs. That's what feels like it's going on here. Like, Tenta is amazing. Fuck Scott Norton, in my humble opinion. And then you get Sabu versus fucking Disco Inferno. And it's like, I need this to be a squash for my mental health, basically. Like, I need it to go down that way. And sure enough, Sabu just starts trying to kill him. I love how he does that. Ever he just jumps for the feet.
And he gets the table, I think, at one point.
Oh, that's all the way at the end, but he starts it off like my semi-feral street cat that adopted us, just jumps for his ankles, just keeps pouncing at his ankles, and I'm like, yeah, get him, like, grab my cat, and like, look, you know, he's doing you, Mox, he's just going for the ankles, but yeah, they're going, Sabu's just basically getting his shit in really well, and you know, I put you over here, I pick you up over here, I put you over here, is Disco's only offense. He tries to get offense in, and I think he's trying to do, like, a hair drag, but he, like, grabs him by the head, and it just looks like that meme of, like, why don't we just take everything from over here and put it over here, and he's just doing it with Sabu's whole body by his head, and I'm just like, none of this looks smooth, none of this is great, and it's Sabu. Like, It's Sabu. Like he should be able to make this look good. And Disco sucks so bad that he can't even have Sabu make it look good. And I'm just sad about it, Amber. It makes me sad. Disco Inferno makes me sad.
Disco sucks.
Disco sucks. And this time it's not like homophobic backlash. No. This time Disco really actually sucks. So there we go. It just, I don't like when wrestling makes me sad like that. But thankfully, it doesn't last terribly long. Sabu does, like, the somersault leg drop and, like, ends it there. And then does the thing where he's Sabu and it's like, it's not over. I'm going to keep killing you. And, like, I think he was going to try to do, like, a Hurricane Rana on the outside. But Disco fucked it up and just caught him on his shoulder. And they just sort of tumbled apart. And he just sort of sits on him. And I'm just like, okay, this kind of sucks. Disco is, they're focusing on Disco. And then I hear someone say Sabu with a table. And I'm like, oh, thank fuck, my hero. And sure enough, he just rushes at him with it. Like, he holds it in front of himself and just charges. And I'm just like, yes, this is how you treat Disco. And it's like not one of the particle board fuckers. It's a door. Like it's a table. But yeah, then he tries to put him through, but he gets out of the way and Sabu just sort of cracks it with the senton. And, yeah, goddamn, he tried his best, but unlike Eddie versus dude, I can't even remember who Eddie fought. Oh, Pittman. Unlike Eddie versus Pittman, Sabu could not turn Disco into gold here, for me at least. But Bobby was like a look at this guy that popped me a bit. And then you get like Dungeons of Goon music hitting and we get Luger and Meng tag teaming. Luger has been in the company for 2 months and his heel turned already. And it's like, oh, okay. And then the greatest theme music of all time, the American Males.
I agree. Yeah.
Finally hit our screen outside of just being like in the crowd looking like Fuckboys Incorporated. We get the song and it makes it worth it. Buff Bagwell and Scotty Riggs. And Bobby does one of my favorite Bobbies. You know what they do on their day off? They work at the department store. They spray perfumes on people. I'm like, yeah, no, they kind of live and wearing like pinstripe suits. And like, okay, sure. And then we get slightly more evil than usual Jimmy Hart come out cackling. Bobby says that the males have been together as a tag team longer than Lex and Meng. And I'm like, yeah, but by about 2 weeks. So like that doesn't necessarily work. And everyone starts going off about collusion in Bobby, and his infinite wisdom says that it all comes down to Hogan, Jimmy Hart, and the Taskmaster. And knowing that Bobby has always had it for Hogan as a heel deep down, like the brain will be vindicated, damn it. He knows what's coming. But overall, this match was just bleh.
Yeah, no, it's a good argument for off weeks in wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's kind of how I'm feeling about this whole Nitro episode, and it's unfortunate. But, like, I don't know, Mongo, I got to give Mongo credit, giving it to Bobby. Like, some give him a hot dog, give him a rocking chair, and I was like, all right, your dozens are improving, but you're still coming for the goat. And, like, Meng is really great. Scotty selling the axe handle from Lex by, like, reaching for the ref popped me because he's just like, and... It was whatever. They do heel shit. Lex racks them. That's it. Like torture rack. Boom.
It was an early American Males match. The song's good.
They did all right. Buff had a good comeback at one point. They seem to be over, but they're just not great yet. But I will say he's better now than he is in NWO. So like there's a brief window where Bagwell was awesome and we're nearing the end of it, I think. Sigh. But then we get to Pepe trick or treating, which
Heenan gets tricked. It's great.
I am such a mark for Pepe. And again, it gives Brain a silly string facial that he sells like mace and just keeps coughing through. And then we like end the night with a replay of the end of Halloween Havoc with Jimmy's betrayal and Lex joining the dungeon for 4 minutes of pay-per-view. We get to hear Shivani yelling Yeti again. And here's the thing. The Yeti dry humping Hogan to death happened. It happened. We can't unhappen it. But did they have to choose to replay it on national
television? I mean, like, maybe.
They made this choice, Amber. They saw it. They saw it happen live. They saw how bad it was in the silence in the crowd.
The thing is, like, I run like an hour-long weekly stream, and I'm starting to understand like how the bigger shows like SNL and some other like, you know, the life stuff like wrestling, they kind of put their things together, and then 4 minutes of earlier in the show, but 4 minutes of like the worst possible thing you could replay. Means like you took away 4 minutes of wrestling
for this, and that. I mean, folks, come to the Patreon. The rest of that show was pretty good. Like, Halloween Havoc wasn't all garbage. It was a lot of garbage. but it wasn't all garbage, and they played you the garbagiest part.
By
the replay of this, yes. That's the thing, too. This is still in the era where they're trying to sell you on a replay of it. They're still trying to sell pay-per-views. And that's what they showed, was Ron Reese dry-humping Hulk Hogan while dressed as a mummy. All right. So, sure, that's not going to work on me.
I mean, I did, for a second, not believe it was a human under there, you know. Yeah. It had to be something otherworldly. But yes, other than that...
But that's mostly because I hate to think of that human being having to do that to their dignity, you know. So that's more of a hope. I hope that's actually a Yeti. I hope that's not Ron Reese.
Oh, God, I hope it's a Yeti.
I hope it's a Yeti. I hope this isn't a human being treated this way. Oh, my God. It really is a three-ring circus. Gripes. But then it's not, that's not even the end of the episode, because they're like, no, that was just our video package. Now we need to bring everyone you just saw back out so they can tell you what we just showed you. And now I'm realizing, like, guys, this is, you're struggling to fill this hour, and they're going to be going to 2 hours soon. And I,
yeah,
mean,
they end up bring up the improv artists.
Yeah. And I mean, they're doing all right for the most part.
No, they, you know, yeah,
they did. Giant had the stolen belt. Jimmy Hart, like, plugged his book and Nitro in one sentence, which was just like, God, he's good at that. Second time of the night where we get heels reenacting the night before while one cuts a promo at the same time, basically. Because, like, at some point, Kevin Sullivan pretends to be getting a beat, being a beat up Hulk Hogan, convulsing on the ground like me after a bee sting. Like, it's just, it's not a good, twice in one night. The whole setup just drives home how tiny Kevin is, too. Because, like, compared to the rest of them, even Jimmy Hart, he's so little. And they just ended with Jimmy running circles literally around the rest of them and everyone talking shit. Cut to commercial.
Well, he's not just running around. Kevin Sullivan is rolling on the ground again. And I think at some point, like, for a little bit, if Jimmy Hart, he runs around him for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, he just starts doing laps.
30, like, well, a lap or maybe 30 seconds, just kind of getting on the camera like, oh, hey, we're going to parade around. Okay, that's a bit, you're kind of going around, you're doing a little bit of improv or you're acting. Okay, you're accentuating the drama. And then it starts becoming like he's stimming himself, like he's stimulating himself because he's so happy about his friends.
Yeah, and he's so happy he betrayed Hulk.
This isn't, I was going to think, oh, this is going to just be bad. But no, they're just trying things out. They're trying to, like, feel the moment. And so I'm happy for them.
They're legit. Yeah, you realize, oh, no, they're this is serious. They're celebrating this. This is, like, all right. God damn, I can't wait for the Dungeon of Goon to be over. But at least this Nitro is over, and I mean, I wanted to tell
if they were drugs or not.
Maybe. I probably some of them. I hope so. Some of them needed to be. But yeah, I just, maybe it's this, the, I don't know. I imagine having recently for Patreon watched the Halloween Havoc, try to put myself into their shoes the day after they did that shit. And being like, oh, I mean, I wouldn't feel like putting up my best game either. They're probably pretty, pretty dejected. And then, yeah, and Raw then. So, like, unless you have anything else to say on that Nitro.
No, the graphics were pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty much. That's about it. But then Raw, I don't know, because, like, listeners, folks, various sickos who listened last week, it was not a good Raw, folks. It was bad. We had a bad time with the Raw last week. At least I did. This one, I don't know if it's just comparison to how shitty Nitro was, but this Raw was kind of a banger off the bat for me. And I will admit that I am a spooky bitch. Like, I love the Halloween all the time stuff in a lot of ways. So right off the bat, it gives us the witching hour is upon us. There's a raw jack-o'-lantern. It's like weird black and white vignettes with Todd Pettengale doing an awful Dracula impression. But overall, super fun. And like Gold Dust hype before the opening song even. Like, right off the bat, I was like, this was a fun little Halloween thing compared to whatever the fuck we just went through.
Yeah, there was a lot more theming in the Raw episode, and it felt like, oh, this is a Halloween episode, not just, like, a thrown-together thing after a pay-per-view and just, like, any time of the year.
Yeah, they felt like they tried harder this week. Like, they felt like they actually gave a shit.
Not everyone did, but some people did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're doing their best. The intro still sucks. Whatever. The WWF logo in the jack-o'-lantern in the corner absolutely popped me.
Mm-hmm.
That brought me back, because I remember like that was a thing when I was a kid. They had like must-see TV stuff on NBC and shit, and like sitcoms would have like their Halloween episode, and they would always have like the network design in some sort of weird Halloweeny theme, which like a thing they would do, and I totally forgot about that because I haven't had cable in 20 years now. So like, no, I forgot.
Just giving me ideas.
Yeah, right. But like that pleased me then. That was like, sweet. Yes, the little jack-o'-lantern with the WWF logo. This is pretty fucking cool. We got Vince dressed like a prisoner, hopefully looking into the future immediately.
I can go into maybe how I think the jack-o'-lantern shot was made later, but we can. Well,
please do.
Yeah, all right. So I think they just like filmed an actual jack-o'-lantern, like on a green screen or blue screen table and background, and then just shot it for like. That filming a flame can be kind of weird if you leave it. So maybe they just filmed it for like an hour and then put it in the corner.
That easy. Yeah. That's so cool.
That's what I do.
Yeah, fucking A. No, that's awesome. Hell yeah. I'm happy to have that insight because I thought that shit was cool as fuck. But like, I want more of that. That's a good idea. And when I really, oh no. When I release the image for this episode, I should probably try to do the MNFF logo and some sort of jack-o'-lantern to make it line up. All right. Well, now don't do the show on the show, Garrick. Shit. But I'm thinking about it. But yeah, that was fucking awesome. Vince is a prisoner. You popped for that, I'm guessing, as hard as I popped for that.
It was funny.
It was like, dude, really? You know, we have There Were Signs, you know, on the show. And I feel like that one wasn't blatant, but it's enough to sort of count. You know, because, like, he knew what he was doing. He'd gotten off of the fucking steroid trial, I think, by this point.
So, oh, yeah. Like, Lawler takes a note of it. And that,
Sheer,
and of all people.
Yeah, exactly. You, of all people, to be dressed like that. He won't let it go because at this point he's like, I won. He doesn't realize that like 25 years later, they're still coming for his ass. Dr. Jerry is a horrifying prospect. So happy Halloween. You know, I guess that worked. Those two fucking chuckle fucks. But outside of that, we get Savio and Goldust to open the show. So this fucking rules right away. I'm like, okay, this isn't so bad. I'm actually having a way more fun of a time than I'd like to admit so far.
I didn't grow up really liking Goldust.
Yeah.
Or wrestling in general.
Yeah.
So this one was really weird.
How do you feel about Goldust going in
so
gold? Like, yeah.
Even though I didn't grow up with wrestling, I'm like pretty knowledgeable about it, like even Japanese shit. And so like this kind of makes me appreciate the WCW like blue collar version of him a lot more.
When he was the Natural?
Yeah, yeah.
Dustin, when he was still the Natural? Because you can still see some of it in his, like, moveset.
Yeah, you know? And his costume and the makeup makes him look like an uncooked chicken.
Sorta, yeah, yeah. And, like, I
think it got better with age, but...
Oh, he leaned into it. Like, that's, like, one of my favorite stories of wrestling is how he took... I mean, because, like... As we now know, anyone watching modern shit, Vince fucking hates the Rhodes family and will until he is dead and in the ground, which is why I didn't honestly think Cody was going to be finishing that story anytime soon. And why it's honestly kind of a big deal that Cody has the championship right now, because, like, it is known, fuck the Rhodes, like, he hates them. So when he did this to Cody, to Dustin, you can't tell me it wasn't on purpose to try to make him look like an asshole. And, like, yeah, they're trying to do the Adrian Adonis kind of thing. They're trying to make the homosexual heel is what they're trying to do. And they use bizarre instead of the F slur, basically, to the point where my notes from here on out have a bizarre counter. So, like, I just watched the match and I would stop taking notes mid note. Bizarre counter one, bizarre counter two. But I was so into this shit as a kid, to be honest, because, like, when I was younger, I didn't notice or give a shit about the homosexual undertones. I just saw a movie buff drag queen and I was like, this is cool. Fuck yeah, I too like movies. I too would like to have pretty hair. Like, this is very cool. Everything about this is cool. Like, the music is cool, the costume, the gold confetti, the Hollywood stars and shit. Like, I was just fucking into it. Like, now I understand that that was me having my own version of There Were Signs. but, like, at the time, I was just like, this is just the shit. But sure enough, by the time I get done with that part of my notes, the bizarre counter is at two. And that's before the match has even started. But he goes right to Savio, and, like, off the bat, I feel like he's does what you were just saying. Like, he's doing, like, that super aggressive badass, like, he might as well be the Natural. Like, he's almost like a heel cowboy guy in the way he's carrying himself at this point. But
yeah, it doesn't
look like that.
I think because it's a Halloween episode, it fits, like, oh, he's in a costume. But, like, if he was in the Natural, like, if he was just, like, I don't know, whatever, in biker gear, sure. Yeah. Versus Salvio Vega at this time, I think it would be, like, fucking out of the park.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not Absolutely. A Salvio Vega fan at all, but, like, it was almost, it was like, oh, okay, I could see a little bit of, like, this could be a gem.
Well, a bit. I mean, I will say I am a Savio Vega fan, which is apparently not a popular opinion with a lot of people, but I always loved him. And doing this rewatch, I understand. He does that huge crossbody and, like, flying off the ropes. Like, everything he does is huge. He's over as fuck. Like, everybody loves him right now. Bizarre count three. but they're doing fantastic work. And, like, I think it's a good sign that you notice that chemistry, because, like, Savio is a big reason why Goldust ends up getting over. You know, we talked about a little bit on the main feed, but Savio is the one who eventually convinces him to do the Los Exoticos thing and, like, play up the gay shit. Basically, he's like, I want you to, like, do this, like, cross this line. I mean, you're going to get heat and, like, the fans are going to go off on you, and it's going to make you different than just the Natural in drag, you know? Cause, like, this match, he just kind of is working like the Natural in drag, and it's great. It was a fucking awesome match. Bizarre count four. You know, he's got fans in the crowd already, though, which I thought was really great too, with the Gold Dust rule sign, and they're, like, in the face paint and wigs, when, like, all he's had is vignettes, and one pay-per-view match and he has a cheer squad already. Pleases me. Pleases me to no end. And it just feels like one of those, as a queer wrestling fan, we've always been here moments. To me, like, to see them out there so hard going, yes, this fucking weirdo is our guy. Like, all right, let's go. But it's wild because I agree. He's not working that way yet. It's still a great match. He just happens to look like that. Bizarre count five. Vince says something about how he looks like a masculine RuPaul, and I say, I see you, Vince.
There was a few things on commentary.
Yeah, please.
they cut to the commentary table. Lawler's wearing gag glasses, and I want to punch both of them.
So hard. Yeah.
Isaac Yankum is mentioned, so we know where we're at in time.
Yeah.
Hell. We're in hell.
We're in hell. Yes. Mayor Kane DDS. We are in hell.
And to your point about RuPaul, on the other side of that, I think RuPaul got on SNL in like the same year, and like his makeup wasn't that great yet. So yeah. Like RuPaul still looked pretty mask. But I digress.
Exactly. But like, we see you, Vince. We see what you're trying to put this in our heads. Mm-hmm. He's not straight, y'all. And like, okay, that's fine. Would absolutely would. And sure enough, to to cap off the awesome great match, he beats him in a very much the natural way. It's like a hammerlock leg hook pinning combo. He doesn't even give him a finishing move, he just straight up pins him. And it's just like, this is very not gold dust yet, but it was an awesome match. And yeah, him and Savio can work. And it pleases me that Savio like is the person, I guess, to help him figure that character out. Because you could see the chemistry just right away in this match that those two like clearly love working together.
Yeah, this is a far cry from like where Goldust went on like Conan, where it's all bit and it's just weird. And even Conan's being like, all right, well, I'm going to get out of my desk and run away from you.
Yeah, and he's playing into it. And we're not far away from that, I feel like. That's coming up. That's, like, this is the debut, but, like, we don't even have Marlena yet. But, yeah, no, the him on Conan, holy shit. I watched that doing research for what was going to be, like, an original version of this whole thing. And I had a whole episode on him, and I, like, just watched that and just was like, this is everything I love about wrestling and everything I hate about the 90s in one place. Like, because like they are absolutely trying to like play him for the transphobia and homophobia, but Dustin is so fucking good at his job that I can't help but just love everything he's doing, because I'm a professional wrestling fan and he's doing it right. Like, he's doing it right. He's doing so good at this that I'm not even mad that it's 90s bullshit culture.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't say he always kept his legs on the line.
Oh, no.
But, like, he knew how to, in certain situations that weren't just like, oh, I'm in the in crowd, I can do whatever the fuck. Yeah. He could play around with things and still keep it safe. He never hurt anyone, I don't think.
So. No, I don't really think so. No, he hurt some egos, but as far as I've always heard, he was good in the ring. Yeah. And like, it's going to be wild documenting the arc of Goldust, because like starting here where he's basically still the natural in drag, and then having him find it, and then having him just go so far trying to keep it in the Vince Russo era. And it's like, please, as everyone understand, like, that's why the general trigger warning is on this whole show, basically, is like, you don't get to have heroes in this business. Like, he's gonna do fucked up shit.
At least not in this era.
Yeah, especially this era. And like, I adore Dustin, and I think that he has grown into an amazing person, but like, he's gonna do blackface, he's gonna do fucked up shit, he's gonna lay, like, it's because like I mean, there's a story. He almost got breast implants for the bit. Like Vince wouldn't let him, but it was his idea. He came to Vince. He's like, what if I got tits, basically? And I was like, at that point, I'm sitting there going, Dustin, do you want to talk?
He's just sitting back, like, what? It would be really funny. What if I got tits
is a bit. What if I started taking estrogen for the, for the gimmick,
to keep my skin really,
really smooth. Easier for the makeup, just doing it for the bit. I swear it's the bit.
Eventually, I won't have to shave my head bald. It would just grow this way.
So we'll see. I don't know. Now he has a trans step kid and is like super cool. So like he's come around. And I hope someone has sat him down and been like, you know how many genders you fucked as a kid, right? It's like, I'm right here going, you showed me gender at 8 years old and said, you can do gender. And I'm like, oh my God, gender. Wow. Mm. And speaking of gender, I know that's the worst transition I've ever done. We get Doc Hendricks looking scarier than you.
Oh, yes.
He's so scary. He's scary without the makeup. But then, like, he just does this whole thing, and he's like, he does, like, I don't know. I think I wrote in my notes, he serves cunt for 0.4 seconds, and I'm sorry. But he does for like a second. He just drops it out. I'm like, what are you doing? Wrestling is so gay. It's just screen. Wrestling is so gay at the screen.
I have no comment on his promo, but to that same point, I just think it's really funny that the whole camera, like as soon as they zoom down, it's just his face, and then on the side of him is Brett's crotch and Sean crotch. Yeah. The whole time.
Exactly. And it's just like, fine. This isn't reminding me of any adult films I've seen. This is fine. And like, they just do the whole thing back to commercial. But then there's like a fake backstage. Yeah, they do like a
little bitch Xbox trying to stop Scott.
Yeah, little bitch Xbox.
Kind of going to catering or something.
Yeah, it's some sort of fake backstage between Razor and Owen. They go to break. They come back, Todd Pettengill saying Hakushi in the weirdest way possible.
Yes, I gave this Hakushi. This is the only match I rated.
Coming up here. The Marty and Jannetty and Joe Dorgan?
No,
not that one. No. This was the match between.
Yes.
Hakushi and Barry Horowitz with the karate fighters,
you mean? Yeah.
All right. Was it a 5-star banger, Amber?
Let's see. Okay, so 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5. All right.
It was a rare Horowitz win.
It was a rare Horowitz win, but he deserved it.
I think it counts.
It counts, and I think Meltzer would be proud of you. But that being said, this combo is a tag team that I would put the belts on, and I'm not even kidding. I love both these guys, Hakushi and Horowitz, and I was like, no, I want those two together forever and ever. That would have been fantastic. Barry Horowitz deserved gold, and like that would have been a fantastic like odd couple team. I feel like odd couple teams is things that they used to do really well, and you could still have them. What was the one recently? Oh God, when Samoa Joe and Hook saved everyone from the travesty of the learning tree. I don't care. Hi guys. I will say the hi guy shit fucking gets me every time. I'm like, yeah, no, he knows. He knows we all want to kick his ass, and he's just doing, oh, you fucker. But like Joe and Hook was such like a weird combo. And then you got fucking the wrestler. What's his name in there? Oh, my God. I can't think of his name now. Shibata with the fucking Google Translate promos that will never not pop me. And it's just this odd couple pairing. And I love teams of odd couple pairings. And I was just so sad at the end of it that this Karate Fighters commercial with a 3 out of 5-star match wasn't like an actual thing. Like, I want Barry Horowitz and Hakushi.
Yeah, I mean, Barry Horowitz walked so Speedboat Bailey could run.
There you go.
That's actually something I believe.
Fucking A right.
Like, if you've seen Barry Horowitz's costumes in Japan,
yeah,
insurgents, that's Speedball Bailey.
Basically.
This whole thing, yeah.
No, I'm into it. Fucking, this is a Barry Horowitz stan podcast. I'm staying by that. But then we go on to actual wrestling. They feed a jobber name of Joe Dorgan to Marty Jannetty. But I was like, you know, Amber, congratulations. You were here for the first episode where I gave enough of a shit to do a little bit of a journalism. I promise I'm never going to be a professional. But I was like, okay, I can't just say they feed a jobber named Joe Dorgan to Marty Jannetty. That's not fair. Who is Joe? Joe Dorgan is the nephew of Tony Parisi. So he's a second generation wrestler and is later known as Johnny Swinger in WCW, ECW, and currently TNA. So I was like, oh, this isn't just an jobber. This is a jobber that goes out there. I did journalism. Please clap. Yay. That is all I deserve. Thank you.
I don't want to make that. Might go into the red.
Oh, there you go. Oh, you're so kind. You're so kind. I'm going to have to edit that later. But yeah, King keeps calling Alondra Blaze a horse face, and I hope he dies soon.
yeah, yeah, they fucking bashed the newest women's champion before the match starts. It's like, well, yeah, thanks. Do I want to keep watching this?
Motherfuckers. He was doing it so hard during the match, too, and like, I'm sorry, Alondra Blaze is hot.
Yeah,
like you're so she is wrong.
She is my favorite of like, I mean, she's kind of the only American women's wrestler here and there in the 90s, I guess. But like,
for the most part,
yeah,
there will be more eventually.
But I've watched all of her like big matches of 95 and a little bit of 96, and every WWF match is a rematch. That's a lower budget, lower quality of something that was huge, like an arena match in Japan.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, like her and Bull Nakano. Like, damn. And she was so good. And this is like, I remember crying about this last week too. Of like, this is, I didn't know that women's wrestling could be this good. And at this point in time, because I came after that. And here you just got Jerry calling her a horse face, and I hope he dies. Yeah. So, that being said, this match also, hate to say it, kind of fucks.
Yeah. Surprisingly here in 1995.
The guy can work. It's just, you know, like,
his eyes are half wide open.
Yeah. I mean, he's fucked up out of his mind. He killed three people on the way into the parking lot. But other than that, you know, like, he can work. So, like, it sucks. And apparently yeah, Joe Dorgan fine. Had
those
it.
People are... You know,
yeah, those people are they're getting treated at a local medical facility. It's okay. God, that all right. Side note, this was how we're pretty caught up on timing of episodes. Like, I'm going to edit this and it's going to go out this week. Just rarely going to happen, folks. Nice. So you can say that I am here right now, recording this, the first episode we've recorded after they tried to kill Trump. And I am sorry, but that I know I'm not the conspiracy theorist. I know that it's all real and actually happened, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that the first release of information they give us includes him saying the line that Trump was being treated at a local medical facility. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. That's literally Vince's line for when they're lying about an injury. They don't say, they don't want to say hospital. They say they're being treated at a local medical facility every time. And I'm like, you can't use the kayfabe line of my youth and not have me go, wait a minute. Like, Trump and Vince were best friends. You learned it from him. What the fuck? So there you go. That's the topical humor.
I mean, yeah.
I did it. I did a topical. Fuck.
I could do some topical humor, but I won't. Not this week. It's too rough. It's not.
Yeah, it's not.
This
great.
Is recorded. If it was live,
yeah, there you go. But go ahead.
Jhonny, he wins with a top rope something to win this match.
A top rope something or other. Yeah, I don't even really know what to call it.
He kind of guides Joe around. I took a lot of notes during the matches of WCW, and because WWF wrestling is like, there's really no wrestling to it. I just kind of like took notes on the scenery.
Basically, I don't know. Like, I will say, I have to agree that all I wrote was that this match kind of fucks, and that's all I wrote about the match. Just this match kind of fucks. And the next thing I have is that Bret Hart and Hakushi are tag teaming next week, and I'm happy for that. But other than that, it's like, okay, yeah, Jannetty, whatever. Then we get what I'm almost a callback to what we're talking about in Nitro. It's exposition time with Vinny and Corny. Corny has finally missed with an outfit for me. I keep having to begrudgingly love Jim Cornette's shit this whole time, but this week is
oh, he goes with the Kentucky outfit and like, yeah, you suddenly don't like it. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, I'm some sort of ist and all kinds of biased, I guess. but I don't know. Maybe it's the green jacket makes me think of golf. I didn't like the colors.
I don't like Jim Cornette. I don't like his voice. I don't like his outfits. I don't like his booking. I don't like his opinions. I don't like his cooking.
Yeah, you mean Wendy's? It's just Wendy's.
I don't like the molecules that make up his taste buds. There's something
wrong there. That boy ain't right all over the place. That boy ain't right.
He puts mustard on his chicken wings.
That's wrong. Oh my god, Corny. Yeah, well, Corny's wrong. And for the first time, he's wrong outfit-wise for me. This shit sucked. But again, like Nitro, he's just telling the audience previously on.
He's squealing.
Yeah. He's squealing. I find it lovely because, again, like I said, it reminds me of this old school vaudeville feeling of having to like literally tell the story to the people because you can't guarantee they watch TV. And then Clarence Mason is there, actual lawyer. Vince McMahon, not actual prisoner yet. Give it fucking time. So yeah, they're just doing the whole thing, and Bulldog is just like mugging and flexing every 15 seconds or so, and it's just for the whole like 4 or 5 minutes that Corny and Mason are talking. They build up some hype for Survivor Series, and after like 5 minutes, they give Davey Boy like 45 seconds to put words together while the crowd boos him, and Jannetty just comes back out and fucks them all. And I'm like, yeah, I like this. You stop making me like Marty Jannetty so much. Like, Corny runs the ropes, takes an elbow, and takes a huge bump. This is great. This is a great episode of Raw.
Oh, I mean, all of that actually made me like Clarence more because, and as an underappreciated heel.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Because he's not screaming, and I can hear him, and he can hear himself in the monitor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he gets his point across, and it's like, that, I don't like Cornette's rambling. So
yeah, I mean, he had like one semi-clever line about well-written writs that popped me, but other than that, it's just Corny being Corny. And I like Clarence Mason, actually pretty good. The whole thing where he's like holding off Jannetty, and he just gets like he gets to get two on him later for flinching, and like that was all fucking funny. That was just good professional wrestling. And then Smoking Guns time, Cowboy Daddy Ass time, and Tag Team Jobbers time.
Yeah. Interesting about, I like the font of the Smoking Guns, because when you walk out of it, if you walk directly in the middle of it, it looks like it's saying Smoking Cunts.
Fuck yeah. That works for me. You get it. Whatever you feel you need to do, smoke, that's fine. Fucking Smoking Guns. Fantastic. Nobody tell Monty Sop that, because he'll turn it into a whole fucking thing. But Daddy Ass, no, I might be smoking.
Yeah, they're just in the ring versus nameless jobblers.
Yeah, but now I'm just sitting here thinking, like, god damn it, Billy Gunn, like, just hang out on the internet watching gay people and like wondering what thing he can do next, like, and him like reading Smoking Cunt and be like, no, Tony, trust me, it's a thing we can do. and they just get dropped by
Twitter. I was on Sabrina. It's coming back.
No, it's a bad daddy ass. Bad. I think these jobbers end up being in Los Pericos with Savio. I did not catch their names, but like I recognize them, and I'm pretty sure
they didn't say their names. It was interesting. They,
that straight up, just one of them was named Otis, I think. But whatever. Sidewinder finisher that I adore. Cowboys win. Sean Waltman, I Stone now, talking shit.
Yeah, I have in my notes. X-Pac, shut up.
It's just there in the middle of an okay match.
Yeah, promos during the matches was like one of the worst ideas that kept going, and it kept going.
Doing it, and they keep doing it, and I'm so done with it. And it sucks because, like, sometimes, like, case in point, earlier in the show, that jobber was all right. You know what I mean? We should have been paying attention to that job, right? That was a pretty good match, even though I didn't take any notes. So they just keep doing it, and it's just like, you're just telling me not to care about this match. And that just seems like bad television.
Sometimes the promos outweigh the matches, and it's like, okay, I wish I could have seen that on its own without the noise.
Yeah, maybe that's what...
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't know if it was earlier or after now, where Goldust comes in and shoots a promo on a different episode. And it's like, I saw that out of all the random episodes I've seen. It's like, oh, I don't want to watch this era if I have to deal with that. It's like, I don't know. It bugs me. I like, even though wrestling is very action packed and sometimes like a train wreck, I want at least something to focus on, one screen to focus on. That's all.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I'm not liking about this. Like, and they do like the Chiron coming across the bottom, talking about how Sean's healing from getting beat up by Marines, and like all and trying to sell the superstar line or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It should be saying the names of the wrestlers.
It's too busy.
Tours, yeah.
It's just so busy, and I feel like eventually they get out of that. But I mean, we'll see how long it takes. Mm-hmm. But then I guess we got Brett and Diesel have no DQ at Survivor Series, and that's cool. Brett gives a really great fucking promo because he's Brett.
Play the guns theme under his promo the whole time.
That's what was a little weird, though. It's like they're just, it's still going on. God, just again, Vince secretly hates Brett and can't wait to screw him. Yeah, you know? Just like, yeah, give this great promo. I'm gonna put the guns music on. Fuck you. Well, he says, big boy, meet the truck stop at the end, the Diesel. And I just wrote down, that sounds hotter than I'm sure he meant for it to, but okay, it's fine. I admit to having a bias. and then we get like the quick QVC while Owen comes out with the little foam championship belts over Owen's music. And I'm like, come on, man. They're packing so much. It's like the opposite of what Nitro was having, where like Nitro, it was like, okay, you guys are wasting a lot of time on stuff and feels like you're trying to fill out this hour and I'm supposed to believe that you're going to 2 hours soon. But like Raw, it's like they're putting so much shit in that it's like, can you just be 2 hours so you're not overloading me doing it all at once? Jesus Christ. It's bad.
Yeah. Like the main event was only 10 minutes. That's...
with like five commercial breaks or some shit. And they don't like, they don't even get, there's a commercial break before they even finish getting everyone in the ring. And then comes back with Paul Bearer being a fucking weirdo. And it's great. Just being a weird little guy. And I love me a creepy little guy in wrestling. And he's going to tell us about Taker being back with his face fucked up. And that's all well and good, but like it happened again. Like, it's too much. Like we said, it's not enough actual wrestling. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sucks because like they're good 30 seconds into the match proper and they're cooking. Like it's Owen Hart. It's fucking awesome. And Diesel or Razor can, you know, he's pretty good at this point. I don't like giving Scott Hall credit, but I will. He's pretty good at this point. He's getting tossed around. Like Owen get tossed around by his ring or by his fingers and like by his wrist the whole time.
I think this is what the old schoolers would call like a mental or a cerebral match, because Scott Hall is like really focusing on his shoulder and using clotheslines and
it's the through line of the whole match, basically. It's his arm. Yeah. So like, no, I agree. It's what they'd said. This is like, that's ring psychology, is I guess what the old schoolers would say, is like you're really not, it's not like a video game mentality where you do all these big moves until it slowly breaks them down. Like, you're trying to specifically hurt his arm so that you can slap him in a submission and his arm already hurts so much that you'll give up right away, you know? And it's like, yeah, they're in that sense, they're quote telling the story. And I kind of liked it, you know, and it led to some cool stuff, because he like keeps putting him in hammer locks, and then he does like Owen like gets out of it by just flipping over his head. And then they come back from a commercial break at some point, and he's got him another hammer lock, and he tries to do it again, and he gets slammed instead. And it's like, that's good storytelling in a 10-minute match, that they were able to do that. And it really kind of lined up with the commercials really well, which, I mean, that's easy to do because it's not live at this point. Mm-hmm. They were able to do that, but I guess what I'm saying is that they've had to do that kind of stuff in previous episodes here with matches that weren't so well done, and it didn't work as well. Yeah. But the fact that Owen and Razor are like actually telling this great story focused around the through line of his arm, keeping you focused on that, even when, you know, Fuji and all them come out, fucking Corny got punched again, and I'm like, yes, this is a great night, which just keep making Jimmy work, like, fan fucking tastic, crying about his eye and shit, and they just keep going. But it was a really fucking good match all the way through. Crowd gets behind Razor really well, and they do some good cheating shit, blah blah blah. It was all in all a good fucking match. It's just really fucking good. Like, at one point Owen hits him with like a crescent kick, and it just looks like he shot him. Like, it was so fucking great. But yeah, it's more, this match was like the better main event than we've had in a while outside of last week. Last week, again, the women's main event was like a banger, and I felt like it was an outlier that shouldn't count, because they never do that, and it just happened to, like, the women's matches are always bangers at this point because they're really good and they never let us see it, pretty much.
Yeah, I feel like tonight's main event, the first few minutes really warmed up, and then it got really hot, and then all those commercials kind of cut things too much, cut the momentum out.
It sucked it right out of me.
Yeah, it started kind of slowing down and getting more into holds, and then Yokozuna walked out, and it's like, oh, well, okay, now we know this match is kind of getting bullshit.
Yeah, it's gonna end in bullshit. Yeah, and
there was a little bit of a movement here and there, like some harder moves, especially an enziguri from Owen.
He's so good at that shit. And then like, that's my enziguri of my youth is specifically Owen Hart's enziguri. So like, when I think of the enziguri, that's who I think of because of what we saw today. He's just so good at it. But no, the commercials, that's what killed it for me. You are correct. Like, totally.
The false finishes helped add to it, but I knew there was something fishy coming at the end since there was Yokozuna there. And it's like, once you have a big guy, he's just gonna kind of do whatever.
But yeah, because like at one point Razor starts getting his shit in. He does like the discus punch and goes for the avalanche Saito suplex. There's a reversal and then another commercial. Yeah. And it was after 30, we like got 30 seconds of a match, and then there was another commercial.
And there was the bespoke commentary of, yes, yes, oh, he did not get him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, God, Vince is fucking, what do you got? No, he didn't. Yeah, no, fucking. God, I'm so ready for him to be done. I need JR. I need JR back. This is not good. But they go to the commercial again. They come back. Razor has him like ready to put him down with the Razor's Edge. And then it's just over. Like, Yoko comes in, gets DQ, and it all goes to shit.
The stars are here now.
Well, I think it's setting up Survivor Series. So yeah, Sean Waltman comes out and gets squashed. And then here's Ahmed Johnson for the first time in person on Raw that I can tell. And the place pops for him. He fucks up Yoko and stands off with Bulldog. And like, I mean, I don't know about you. I'm excited about Ahmed Johnson finally. Like this, like
whenever I play wrestling simulators, they're usually like wrestling manager simulators. Ahmed and Salvo Vega are usually the first ones I trade off.
So, really?
Yeah.
Those are two of my favorites growing up. Oh, that's so, I'm feeling so judged, Amber, and that's okay. We're wrestling fans. We should be judged. But no, that's.
And like Bulldog's slam, and then he kind of like runs out, and then Bulldog's there, and he just stands there. And that ends the night.
And we go to La Femme Nikita. Yeah. Well, would have if you've been watching it at the time.
I think the ending of WCW might be better.
Yeah, it really kind of was. Like, I don't know. Overall, I liked this episode of Raw, I think, more. It ruled more than Raw has the last couple weeks of doing this. The last couple weeks of Raw have made me go, like, do I really want to do this podcast? Yeah, I do. But holy shit, Jesus. But this one was a lot better, and I don't know if it... I honestly could just be the bias of how bad Nitro was this week in my mind.
Yeah.
Because it didn't do it for me. I don't know. We made it, though. We made it to the end of Raw. So, Amber, what was your match of the week, then? It seems like we're kind of naturally going to that.
I would probably say... Oh, man. Let me look at my notes for a second.
No, by all means, think about it. Because I had a hard time with this one myself.
Maybe the Eddie Guerrero match? Because it didn't end in a false finish. And it had potential.
It really did. I had that as a possibility too. I also like, apparently I enjoyed this Owen and Razor match a lot more than you did. And then we got to the shit ending and I was like, well, not that one.
Yeah.
Basically,
I was excited for it.
It was not good at the end and it killed it for me.
Yeah.
I
fell asleep last night and didn't get to it. So I watched it 10 minutes before, the 20 minutes before the show.
Yeah.
I was kind of getting into it and then, all right, I reminded myself like how much of a slog the rest of the episode was, so I couldn't really rate it.
Yeah, too high. Very much. I ended up going with Goldust and Savio. To be honest, I fucking loved that match. It was good all the way through. Savio was doing crazy shit, and it ended with like a cool little pinning combo. And I'm a sucker for a cool little pinning combo. I love that shit. It's why I love Orange Cassidy so much. He pulls that shit out of nowhere. So I went with that because I thought it was as good as the Guerrero Pittman match without having to give any credit to Pittman. And that was good enough for me. Yeah. I don't know if you had a sign of the week. We had a little bit more this time. There's some weird ones. But I don't know if anything that popped out to you.
I think there was a few ones, but I can't remember any specifically.
Honestly, I was like, you know what? I'm not giving it to a sign, but to the kids that had the whiteboard that just said four-peat, I was like, you know, I don't care about the four-peat, but I want to give it to you for the innovation of doing that before WWE realized how terrible it was to let people have those. Like, that seems like it's not going to go well. They could write the signs when you get there. Personally, I think that's fantastic. And I'm giving it to them for the innovation of realizing that they're like, wait, this is posting. We can do posting. Before posting was a thing, if we just had a whiteboard. So, I don't know. Finally, then, who won this week? Do you think Raw or Nitro was better?
Oh, I mean, coming right out of a pay-per-view, that's some, it's a stinker, but it's momentum.
Yeah.
And then Raw, you have like Owen versus Razor, which is like, okay, yeah, anyone new to wrestling can go and watch that and be like, oh, that's a decent match.
Same with Goldust and Savio, I feel like, too. Like, it just was good.
Because of the vibe, it was generally less shitty. I'm going to go with Raw.
Yeah, I'm giving it to Raw. It was exposition heavy, which was annoying, but I actually found the costume shit campy rather than annoying. And at no point did Ron Reese dressed as a mummy dry hump Hulk Hogan. So I was really feeling good about Raw. The matches were amazing. Goldust Savio ruled it. No, they win. So, like, really, a comeback victory after last week's Raw of all time that just fucking sucked. Like, so well done. Way to make it back. And that's the show, Amber. You did it. You officially did it. You made it through
I did it.
a
What do I win?
podcast. You win an opportunity to plug any promotions or socials or
Oh,
anything else that you would like to hear.
an opportunity of a lifetime.
Sure.
Go to my websites, glitchsister.com, hexenshow.com, and transmedia.live. It's all the same website, but it's all stuff I run.
Hell yeah.
I am a visual artist and showrunner and DJ. Like, I just play in music and I run a show and I work with a lot of artists and we do a weekly show that used to be monthly and been running that for at least, well, by the time you're listening to this, it would be about 3.5 years.
Hot
Yeah.
damn. Well, hell yeah.
Because we do an annual show, Hexen 420, and that has like 20 acts on it every year.
Whoa.
Yeah. Usually, I mean, the weekly show, we have like 3 to 5 people on it, and that's pretty cool. New sets and stuff. And that's, of like
Fantastic.
touring acts and stuff like that. And what day does this go out?
Probably Saturday. Well, Friday at midnight.
Okay, then
So.
yeah. So Saturday afternoon at 7 p.m. CST, you can watch us on Twitch, and it'll be the second episode of this podcast in a visual form that I'm editing right now. And it's Nitro and Raw on your screen while you watch the listen to this, and that's pretty cool because I really like this podcast. And
Thank you. I
yeah.
appreciate it. I've never done one before, so any feedback is welcome.
Oh yeah, of course. And I mean, I'm gonna be talking to you a bunch because, like, I mean, yeah, I genuinely enjoy this podcast and you're posting.
I'd try.
Yeah, it's
I would be posting and or talking about this shit to myself anyway, so I'm happy everyone can hang out
same. I can't find enough good people to talk about wrestling, especially like not only talk about it, but also like making things about wrestling that aren't just like, oh, let's get in the mat because we don't know how to wrestle. Or,
Oh no, I'm way too old for that shit. Oh God, no. As soon as I read that, the moment I read Mick Foley's book and he's like, well, it's real enough that it all actually hurts. I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'm never going to be a wrestler then. Cause I don't owie. I don't want to owie. I want to do the makeup.
yeah.
Again, there were signs.
There's
But
part of
yeah.
me that could still do it because I took gymnastics really early on and played soccer for years and
Oh,
all
hell
that.
yeah.
Like, still very athletic. I don't even drive. I just ride a bike or walk everywhere.
See, you're ahead of me then. If you wanted to get in the ring, you could, and I would support you, Amber, and
Yeah.
I would absolutely blast the shit out of
It's kind of one of my
that.
dreams. That's like, I would like to. The local Oklahoma scene is dog shit. They know it. And I am probably the only person who ever watches their videos.
Oh, buddy. Well, at least I got someone doing it. I'll take it.
Yeah. But like, if I don't know, if I were to get into wrestling, that would be kind of like the reason I would be getting into it would be like to reverse everything that's happened in Oklahoma wrestling and actually be like, hey, here's a place you can go to anyone. But right now the commission is like the athletics commission, their rules on blood work
Oh,
is
God.
you only need to do blood work once a year, but you can't be trans.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
So
naturally.
I'm not
No,
really
no.
sure what they're trying to accomplish there.
So, oh, they're so far behind. Oh my god! Like,
it's guys, not Vince, actually helping anyone. It's you have
and a, like McMahon killed this in the 80s. Remember where it's fake? It's on record. Mm-hmm. It's not real.
Oh, the reason they're still a part of the athletic commission is because no one really comes to their shows because they don't really promote it. And some channels that upload like handy cams of the wrestling matches that aren't really promoted have comments turned off, or sometimes the promotions will turn comments off. It's indie wrestling.
Fuck
it's Southern indie wrestling. And I am probably maybe one of two people that watches it, maybe the only. And it's like, yeah, this is kind of what it feels like to go back and watch those old the fucking Lawler Memphis.
Yeah.
In like the late 90s. Shit.
Yeah.
Like not even like old, but like when it was almost on basic cable.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Interesting. See, I where I was in Wisconsin, we had not much in the way of the territory stuff. So we had WCW or WWF, or if you stayed up late enough on PBS, there was just they would just take VHS of kids doing backyard wrestling and just air it.
Oh, that was a thing.
Oh yeah. That's
the whole promotion. Yeah.
But yeah, that shit was like what I had for local indie stuff. Was like literally backyard wrestling. So you're already doing better than that. But that's awesome. Thank you again for coming on. And oh, I got to promo my stuff. Thanks for hanging out, folks. Thanks for the people who are actually listening to this. Still blows my mind. There's like 20 of you a week. Welcome. You can find us on Blue Sky at mnffpod.bsky.social. Instagram at mnffpod. And if you want to join on the Patreon, patreon.com/mnffpod. We got all kinds of watch parties, various series like The Hazards Are Real, where Nova the Noob, who used to have to work with medical stuff, watches wrestling matches where people actually get hurt and screams at the screen. That's always fun. So things of that nature. Please come hang out and otherwise, we will see you next week for more Raw versus Nitro on Monday Night Fate Fights. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye. And I hit the end of the recording.